This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala abdillahi wa rasulih, Nabiina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Does anyone remember the topic that we were speaking about last week? The general topic? Yes. The Quran. We were doing sort of general knowledge about the Quran, how many surahs there are, what are the main topics of the surahs. We were talking about things like that. So one of the sciences of the Quran, one of the topics that we study in the Quran, is we study the meanings of the Quran, what the Quran means and what Allah is telling us in the Quran, and we call this tafsir. Now, some of you have already been here for some of the surahs that we did, but today I want to do a recap of Surah Al-Fatiha and maybe some of the last short surahs of the Quran, just as a recap, even though we've already done it before, some of you, but some of you haven't as well. And it's very important. First of all, which surah is Surah Al-Fatiha? Which number surah? Where does it come in the Mus'haf? Go on. Number one, the very first surah in the Quran. And it's called Al-Fatiha, which is the opening, right? Fatih. And you open something. This is the opening surah of the Quran. Does anyone know any other name for Surah Al-Fatiha? Any other name? A different name for it? Does anyone know? Girls, do you know any different names for Surah? Ummul Quran, very good. Ummul Quran. Ummul Quran, you might translate it as the mother of the Quran, but really, Ummul Shay in Arabic, we say meaning what it goes back to. Like, for example, how you go back to your mother, right? Like, you came from your mother, you were born from your mother, like, you go back to her. The whole of the Quran goes back to Surah Al-Fatiha. What do you think that means, boys, that it goes back to Surah Al-Fatiha? The whole of the Quran. Yes. Noah. How? Like, you're right, completely right. But just tell me kind of how does it go back to the beginning surah? Yes, Muhammad. We're coming to that. You're right. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهَا رُقِيَةٌ. You're right. But I want to answer the first question first. I will come back to your answer. It's very good. I will come back to it. What does it mean, Ummul Quran? What are you guys trying to do? What are you trying to make louder, the live stream? Okay. Yusuf, when you look at it, there's a little triangle. Yeah, is it full or is it halfway? Is it full or halfway? Okay, then I'll just move the microphone up a bit and then you'll be able to hear better. Okay? Okay, very good. Why do we call it Ummul Quran? Why do we call it Ummul Quran? Like everything goes back to it. Girls, you're allowed to answer always. But like you have to have an answer ready. The most important, good. Stop there. You've got more answers. The girl said because it's the most important surah. That's why it's called the mother of the Quran. The word in Arabic is ahamu shay, the most important thing in something. What else? So almost, could you almost say the rest of the Quran inherits? Could you almost say the rest of the Quran inherits the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha? Like it's like Surah Al-Fatiha is a summary for the whole Quran. Everything in the Quran is summarized in Surah Al-Fatiha. It's like a short version of the whole Quran. It's like the whole Quran got shortened into how many ayat? 7. What's another name of Surah Al-Fatiha then? The 7 stones. The 7 cars. 7 stars. 7. The 7 repeated ayat. As-Sab' al-Mathani. The 7 ayat that are repeated again and again and again. Why do we say the 7 ayat that are repeated again and again? Why do we repeat Surah Al-Fatiha more than Surah Al-Baqarah? Why do we read it more than Surah Ali Imran? Correct, girls, boys, let's see if you get it. Yeah. Every single raka'ah of every single prayer, you say it. So you keep on repeating the 7 again and again and again. So it's called as-sab' al-mathani, the 7 that are repeated again and again. Yes, Noah. You need that surah more than anything and everything else. I'm going to come back to you, Muhammad, because Muhammad, you said to me another name of Surah Al-Fatiha, you said Ar-Ruqya. Yeah, do you know what that means? The Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Sa'id, if I'm not mistaken, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَةً. How did you know that it was a ruqya? Meaning you could use it as a treatment for yourself when you are sick. That's what it means, like not a medicine, but as words that you say for Allah to make you better. Words that you say for Allah to make you better. Does anyone know how you would do that? How would you do that? How would you use Surah Al-Fatiha as a ruqya, as words that you say to make your, to get better, to get healthy again? Yes. But how do you do this ruqya? What is this ruqya thing that you do to get to, so you can feel better, so that you can be better? So you're sick, okay? And the doctor said, oh, it's very bad. You have to go to hospital and have an operation. And it's very, very, very bad. Your sickness is really bad and we don't have any medicine for you. What could you do with Surah Al-Fatiha? Okay, the girl said, go on. How? Take 3 tablets a day?
Recite it.
Okay, you're right. You're right, yeah? The girl said it. Read over yourself and blow. So for example, you would read, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And blow on yourself. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Or if you had a pain in your head, Maliki Yawmiddin. Yeah, you read and blow and wipe over yourself. That's what it means, Ar-Ruqya. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Surah Al-Fatiha is Ar-Ruqya. وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَةً. And you could use it for any sickness. You could use it for any sickness, but especially and even more for the sicknesses which are from the world of the unseen. The things which are, that even the doctors don't know anything about it. COVID. I'm talking about scary things. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about things that go bump in the night and snatch you out of your bed and paralyze you and throw you around the room and, you know, stuff like that. Whatever it is, COVID or anything else, whatever it is, Wallahi, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was in Mecca one time and he said, I couldn't find a doctor. And he said, I just kept on treating myself by saying, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. And reading it over himself. And wallahi, he said, you would be amazed at the result. So that's one thing that Muhammad told us, that it is al-ruqya. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهَا ruqya. Very good. What else do we know about this surah? In just before we get to the meaning, what do we know about the surah itself? It's 7 ayat. What else do we know about the surah? It's like a meaning of the whole Quran. It is the first surah in the Quran. What else do we know about it? We read it all the time in the prayer. What else do we know about it? Girls, what else do we know about it? Okay, give me the theme of the surah then. Before that, was this surah revealed during the time the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca or Medina? In the time he was in Mecca, okay. And what is the theme of the surah? If you were going to summarize for me, tell me Surah Al-Fatiha in 3 words. Tell me what does the surah mean in 3 words. The most important, okay. That's kind of like a virtue, but give me a meaning in a few words, 5 words or 6 words. There's not many people awake today among the boys. The surah that helps you. Okay, give me. 3 topics that Surah Al-Fatiha deals with. 3 topics. Okay, Allah's names. Good. Point number 1, it tells you about Allah's names. Point number 2, worshipping Allah alone and not making any partner with Him. Okay, and? اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guidance to the straight path. Okay, so that's a good summary. I like that. Allah's names and attributes. Guys, boys, you are not concentrating. And I'm losing patience. Concentrate. It tells you about Allah's names. It tells you about worshipping Allah. And it tells you about guidance to the straight path. That's a good, nice 3 points that Surah Al-Fatiha tells us about. It's not the only things, but it's a good, important explanation. So what does that tell us about the whole Quran? Then, that's the main themes of the Quran. The whole Quran tells us about Allah's names and attributes. And it tells us about worshipping Allah alone. And it tells us about guidance to the straight path, how to be guided to Allah's straight path and how to practice Allah's religion properly. Okay. The surah starts Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It starts Bismillah Ar Rahman Ar Rahim. In the name of Allah. How many names does Allah have? Recap, we've done this already. Go on, Safa. No limit to the number of names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. We don't know how many. Very good, very good. 99 special names, very good. Okay. All of these names come in Bismillah. Bismillah, the ba here, it means I'm asking for your help. What are you asking Allah's help to do? There are many answers. What are you asking Allah's help to be able to do? Same two people. I'm banning these two from answering questions. Not because they did anything wrong. You did everything right. But I'm banning you two from answering questions because nobody else is answering. Yes, Zach. Asking Allah's help that you don't get. Okay, but like simpler than that. You say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What are you asking Allah's help to do? Okay, girl said to read the Quran. That's a good point. Bismillahi atlu hadihi surah. O Allah, in the name of Allah, I'm going to recite this surah. I'm asking your help, O Allah, to recite it properly. But that's not the only thing you're asking Allah's help for.
To pray?
If you're praying, to be able to pray properly. But what else? To read it or to do what? Seek forgiveness, true, because of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's not a bad answer. Yes. Very good. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. Very good. To know the meaning of it. Oh Allah, help me to understand it. Oh Allah, help me to act upon it. Help me to practice it. Help me to read it properly. Help me to be guided. Help me to answer the dua that I'm making. For you to answer my dua that I'm making. All of those things you're asking for Allah's help. Bismillah. And you're asking for Allah's help by mentioning three of His special names. The first name, boys, the first name, Allah. You're asking Allah, oh Allah. What does the name Allah mean? Because we've done this already in the class. What does the name Allah mean? Roughly, give me a rough summary of it. The girl's got it perfectly. Go on.
Is it just God?
God. It's not a bad answer. It's not a bad answer, but it's not quite enough. Yes.
The one and only.
The one and only. I like that. Put those two together and you're quite close. The one and only
God.
What's a God? A God, not the God. What's a God? In every religion, any religion on the face of the earth, a god is? No. Some people worship plastic gods that are made in Thailand. Yes. No. Plastic gods in Thailand didn't create anything. Yes. They believe, not even they believe in them. Some of them don't even believe in them. Yes, Zach. They worship them. A God is anything that is worshipped. So Allah is the one, only one true God that deserves to be worshipped. Because worshipping plastic gods from Thailand doesn't make any sense. Right? Is that not true? It doesn't make any sense at all because that little plastic piece of thing didn't create anything. It doesn't answer your dua. It doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't help you. It doesn't know anything. It doesn't even talk. It's not even battery powered. It's just a piece of plastic. It doesn't make any sense to worship anything that isn't Allah because Allah has all the attributes of the one true God that deserves to be worshipped. Okay. I'm asking Allah to help me to read, to recite, to understand, to practice the surah. I'm asking Allah's help. And I'm asking Allah by His names, which you rightly mentioned, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the one who gives out mercy. What's the difference between the most merciful and the one who gives out mercy? What's the difference between those two things?
Nothing.
There is a difference, I promise. Girls, you can give me that. I'm going to have to ban you two now and put Muhammad and Noor back in the game. It's like a basketball team or something. I have to swap two people out and bring two more people back in. I don't know if you can do that in basketball. Maybe you can't. I don't know.
Okay, one is a description and one is an action. Good, that's good enough. Okay, that's very good. One is specific, one is general, one's a description, one's an action. So, Allah is the most merciful. Is there anyone more merciful than Allah?
No.
Not even the Prophet ﷺ? No. Not even Jibreel?
No.
No one is more merciful than Allah. Nobody. But does Allah give that mercy to everyone the same way?
No.
Some people get lots of it, like Muslims. And some people get only a little bit, like some evil people and people who do bad things. So the people who go to hellfire and so on. So mercy isn't the same. Okay. So what does that really mean you're asking Allah for when you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? You're asking Allah for His
mercy
and forgiveness, as you said. For His mercy, for His forgiveness. That, oh Allah, I know that I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to recite the surah perfectly. I'm not going to be able to do everything you told me all the time. Have mercy on me for my mistakes and my shortcomings, and when I don't do things right, have mercy on me. Forgive me for it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is just the introduction to the surah. I don't condone violence against small children. But that one's fine, you can make an exception. Okay. Yeah? That's just the introduction to the surah. It's just an introduction. We didn't even start the surah itself. We just got an introduction that, oh Allah, I'm asking your help because you are Allah. You're the one who I should worship. You're the one who can help me. You're the one who can have mercy on me. I'm asking your help to recite this surah properly, to understand it, to be able to pray nicely, to be able to put it into practice. And then the surah starts, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Okay, what is praise of Allah? What does it mean? Alhamdulillah. Put your phone down, you don't need it. And if I confiscate it, I'm sure I can sell it on eBay for a nice amount of money. And you don't want that to happen, inshallah. Sadaqa starts at home, huh? So honoring Allah, okay. Through what though? What, in what way are you honoring Allah? Through words, right? Saying the best words about Allah. At-tahiyyatu lillah. The best words that you say are for Allah. Yeah? The best words you say are for Allah. So why do you praise Allah? Like, why do you say the best words about Allah? Why? Ooh, we've still got the same four now. I have to change the team. Okay, go on. Yeah. Excellent. He's the creator of all of us. So He deserves that praise, right? Yes. Go on. Before I substitute you out of the game. Don't say needs. Say deserves. Allah deserves to be worshipped. Because He created us and what's in this world. Okay, go on. Yeah, good. So we can succeed by praising Him. Okay, good, yes.
So, we're made to worship Allah.
We were created to worship Allah, mashallah. Very good.
And then, we're taking responsibility to take care of His food and stuff like that.
To take care of what Allah has given us as a trust. I like it, it's very nice. Yes. When we die, we'll be asked about whether we worshipped Allah or not. But I want to know about praising Allah, the best words you praise Allah for. You praise Allah because of who Allah is and what Allah does. You praise Allah because He created you. You praise Allah because everything you have came from Him. You praise Allah because He answers your dua. You praise Allah because He hears everything and sees everything and knows everything. Because of who Allah is and because of what Allah does, that's why you praise Allah. You praise Allah because of Allah's names and attributes. All Allah's names you learnt, that's a part of praising Allah. Because Allah deserves to be praised. Allah deserves to be praised. In the dua, we sometimes say, La nuhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. We can't even praise you, O Allah. We can't even praise you the way you deserve. But how you praise yourself, that's how you are. Get him an espresso or something, and he looks tired. It's either an espresso or a kick in the back. Which one you prefer? Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. You are as you praised yourself. How you praise yourself, that's how we praise you. We don't even know how to praise Allah properly. And one of the reasons why we praise Allah is because Allah is Rabbul Alameen. He's the Rabb. Now you learned what the meaning of the word Rabb is because you did it a couple of weeks ago. Who is a Rabb? The one who looks after his creation. Good, I like that. The Lord. Okay, what's a Lord? I'm not talking about those guys who wear the funny wigs in Parliament. No. The one who's in charge, everyone obeys them. Yeah? The creator, the one who's in charge, the one who everyone obeys them, and the one who looks after his creation. Rabb of what? Al-alameen. Okay? Alam means a world. An alam is a world. Alameen are all the different worlds. What different worlds? What are the different worlds that Allah is the Lord of? The world of... Let the boys have a go. The world of... Hat. The world of... Go on. You're correct. The world of... Okay, say example. The world of the plants, the world of the animals. Allah is the Lord of all of it. The world of the different planets in the universe. The world of all the different... The Lord of all the different galaxies. And universes, and everything else, and the angels, the Lord of the world of the angels, and the Lord of the world of the jinn, and the Lord of the world of the people, and the Lord of the world of everything that we can see and everything we can't see. Allah is the Lord of all of it. All of it obeys Allah's command. All of it, Allah looks after them and nurtures them and takes care of them. All of it, Allah commands them and controls them. He's okay. He's okay. I'll move him later. He wasn't the worst one. Wallah, you nearly made me fall off my chair. I thought you were going to ask me something about the class. Wallah, I was nearly going to fall off my chair. I saw you put your hand up. I thought, whoa, what happened? Someone snuck you an espresso in the side. Go. Go, but come back awake and energized and happy. Okay, Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the world and everything that is in it. Okay, what does that make you feel? When you know that Allah is the Lord of the world and everything that is in it, what does that make you feel? Yes.
It makes you want to worship Him even more.
It makes you want to worship Him. Really good. I like that. You want to worship Him. Because you're not worshipping some plastic thing that was made in Thailand. You're worshipping the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one who everything submits to His command, the one who everything comes from Him. Yeah? So you should be proud. The girl said hopeful and fearful, but that hasn't come yet. But that's still good. That's good, yeah? You also love Allah. Allah is the one who takes care of you. And what would you do? لا قدر الله ذلك. If you went home and there was an explosion in your house, and la qadr Allah, may Allah never make it happen, you lost your mom, you lost your dad, you lost your brothers and sisters, you lost every family member you had, all of them died, and you're by yourself. Who are you going to turn to? Allah. Allah's going to take care of you. Even if nobody is left to take care of you, Allah's going to take care of you. You're not going to get lost. You're not going to be alone, because Allah is always going to take care of you. So you love Allah. And then let me ask you a different way. Your mom and your dad and your siblings and everything in the house you live in, where did it come from? All of it came from Allah. So you need to get it. You know, you need to thank Allah and praise Allah for all the good things that Allah gave you. What's the difference between girls, between praising Allah and between thanking Allah? Girls, banat. Okay, thanks is a specific form of praise. Okay. What about gratitude then? Is that specific as well? That's a synonym. Okay. Yes, Muhammad, we bring you back in the game because now the others had a good chance to answer. Now you can answer. Go for it. So praising is saying something good, and being grateful is doing something good. Excellent, mashallah, very good. Praising Allah is saying something good, and being grateful is often doing something good. So, like Allah said, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. O family of Dawood, behave as though you're grateful. And he behave in a way that is grateful. So, gratitude is to do with how you behave as well as how you speak. Okay, when are you grateful? Praise is in every situation, and gratitude is when something good happens to you. So you're grateful when something good happens, but you praise Allah all the time. What about if a disaster happens? What about if there's a plane crash and you're the only sole survivor? Do you still praise Allah? You still praise Allah. What about if you get really ill and you end up in hospital? Do you still praise Allah? What about if something terrible happens, like COVID, but worse? You still praise Allah?
Yes.
Yeah, you praise Allah in every situation. In every situation. So that's a difference between praise and gratitude. You want to go? Go. Inshallah. MashaAllah, you did very well so far. Where's our mu'adhin? Time? Okay, small break for the adhan, inshallah. Could you find the other one who left earlier as well?
I'm وسلم الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعث المقام المحمود الذي وعدته. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. Do you need to go to the bathroom? You asking to go somewhere? Sorry? Wudu, you'll be okay. You can go in about 10 minutes when you get towards the end of the class, okay? Okay. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When you hear how merciful Allah is, how do you feel? Hopeful. The girl said hopeful, grateful. You feel hopeful. You feel hopeful. Yeah? You feel like it doesn't matter how bad you are, Allah can forgive you. It doesn't matter how bad things get in your life, Allah can forgive you. So you feel hopeful. Maliki yawmiddin. Maliki yawmiddin. Allah is the one who owns and the one who controls everything that happens. Yawmuddin. Yawmuddin. The day where everyone gets paid back what they did. Everyone gets paid back for what they did. Yawmuddin. Some people did good, they get good. Hal jaza'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan? Is the reward for good anything except good? Some people did bad. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever did something good, even the tiniest dot of good is going to see it. And whoever did the tiniest dot of evil is going to see it. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةٍ وَلَا كَبِيرَةٍ إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. What's this book that didn't leave even a single small thing or a single big thing except that it's written down? وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقَرَأُ كِتَابِيَهُ. As for the one who's given the book in his right hand, he will say, come and read my book. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَهُ. I was sure that I'm going to meet my account. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. He's in a high paradise with a happy life. What's the other person who's given the book in their left hand? وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ. The person who's given a book in his left hand, يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَ. I wish I never was given my book. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَ. And I never knew what was in it. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ. I wish that I could just die. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ. My money didn't benefit me anything. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ. All of my power went away. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوا. Take him and chain him. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوا. And then put him into the fire of Jahannam. So what does that tell us? That's the day when people who did good will get good. And that's the day when people who did bad, they'll get the bad that they did. Well, how does that make you feel? Scared. Should you be scared of Allah? Yeah. Boys say yeah. You should be scared of Allah because it motivates you to do more good things. Yeah? It's called the carrot and the stick. Yeah? Like you get scared of something and you want to avoid it, and you get happy about something and you want to do it. So Allah tells you about Jannah. Allah tells you about Jannah. And you want to be there. And Allah tells you about Jahannam and you want to keep away from it and avoid it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. You alone we worship. Iyaka, only you. That's what Iyaka means here. Iyaka, it means only you, nobody else. Iyyaka na'budu. Only you we worship. We don't worship anything else.
We don't worship the sun. We don't worship the moon. We don't worship statues, whether they're made of wood or plastic or rocks or anything else. We don't worship people. We don't worship prophets. I remember I once told someone about Islam. Do you know what they said to me? I told them about Islam. They said, I know about Islam. You Muslims worship Muhammad, right? مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. Whoever worships Muhammad, Muhammad is dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever worships Allah, Allah is ever living and never dies. So some people think that. Some people worship Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. Some people worship dead people. Some people worship graves. Some people worship trees. Some people worship stones. Some people worship the stars. Some people worship money. Really, they worship money. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ta'isa abdu dinari wa dirham." He said, may the person who worships gold and silver be destroyed. People worship money. It becomes a god for them. That's only that matters. They will bow before the money. It's all about money for them. The whole world is about money. Some people worship gold and silver. They worship money. People worship all kinds of things. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. Only you we worship. Yes, Habibi. Okay, did you have something? That's what it means. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. Only you we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And only you we ask for help. Okay. Today, when I finish my class, I've got a camera here. You can see the camera, right? I mean, if you're watching at home, you can't see the camera, but obviously you know the camera's there, right? Camera, okay? And I say to you, for example, Muhammad, can you help me to put the camera away? What are you going to say to me? Astaghfirullah, iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. We only ask Allah for help. Is that right? So what does it mean we only ask Allah for help? Girls gave a perfect answer. Let's see if any of the boys can give that answer. Yeah, go on.
Something important.
Very good, close. Something important, Zach. Go on, get your help from... Go on, yalla. But I just said I can ask you, Noah, to help me pack the camera. Okay, good. You guys are getting there. It's almost lukewarm. Yeah, go on. The girls got it straight away.
Allah can't put the camera
with me. Allah can do anything He wants. Allah can do any single thing He wants. Kun fayakun. Yes. Okay, important, big things. You two can go together. You're nearly on the same team. I'm going to tell you what the girl said. You only ask Allah for the things that only Allah can do. I can say, Muhammad, can you help me with the camera? Why? Because Muhammad is here. The camera is here. And I'm asking him for something small that a person can do. But if I say to Muhammad, can you just get me to Jannah? What are you going to say?
No.
You can't do that, huh? Only Allah. So this is what it means, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We only ask your help for the things that only Allah can do. Having said that, is it a good idea to constantly ask people for help, even in the things they can do? No. It's a bad habit. Always asking people for help all the time. Nobody likes you asking them except Allah. Nobody likes people asking them all the time except Allah. Okay, is asking Allah's help worship? What's worship? What is worship? Okay, the girls brought it. Worship is everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from statements and actions, whether apparent or hidden. Wallah, they memorized it. اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضى من الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة. It's everything Allah loves and is pleased with. And so is asking Allah's help worship? Absolutely yes. Why is it mentioned twice then? You alone we worship and you alone we worship by asking help. Why is it mentioned twice? Nothing in the Quran is mentioned twice without a reason. That's a principle. To emphasize what? How important it is to ask Allah for help and how much you need Allah's help. Didn't we say at the beginning, you can't recite without Allah's help. You can't understand without Allah's help. You can't practice without Allah's help. You can't be guided without Allah's help. You can't get Jannah without Allah's help. So you need to emphasize, oh Allah, I really need your help and nobody else can help me except you. Also, what is the main thing that people, many, many Muslims fell into that took them outside of Islam? Asking people for help in things that only Allah can do. That's why in some countries, if you go, until today, in many, not all, you will still see people who queue outside of the grave of a sheikh or an imam, and they make sajda to the grave. They put their head on the grave and they say, oh imam, save me from the hellfire. Many Muslim countries today, do they think they're doing something wrong? No, they think that what they're doing is just asking Allah through him. But what they're doing is taking them away from Islam and outside of Islam. So many people went astray from it and many people got confused. So Allah emphasized it for us in Surah Al-Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Can you worship Allah without his help? That's a third reason then. You alone we worship and we need your help to worship you. What's the dua of Mu'adh? Who knows the dua that Prophet ﷺ taught Mu'adh when he said, Mu'adh, inni la uhibbuk, I love you. Don't leave after every obligatory prayer without saying. Don't finish every obligatory prayer without saying. What's the dua? The Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Ya Mu'adh, inni la uhibbuk, I love you. Don't finish any obligatory prayer without saying. No, you both, he said salam, he said tashahud, no. No, without saying, Allahumma a'inni. Shukrika wa husni ibadatik, mashallah.